The crew all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
See, the sky's not falling. Everything's better. Not everything's perfect, but everything's better when you just take it easy, flush it, and move on, right? I'm Dominic Catronio. Jeff Cirillo is with us tonight. This is Brewers Extra Innings. We'll be with you till just past the 11 o'clock hour this evening. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. And Jeff, have you ever been a part of a perfect game? Because tonight, we are one pitch away from watching one.
I know. What a dominant performance tonight. It was definitely a needed performance from Freddie Peralta. Just one of those ones. You know, he's had the Rockies number for the most part in his last start in Colorado this year. But other than that, it was impressive to watch tonight, and he was definitely on his game.
It was fastballs elevated that nobody could touch. It was sliders both in and out of the zone, flashing good changeups as well. I think that's as close to being perfect on everything clicking at once as I've ever seen any pitch. I mean, that drew back what Corbin Burns looked like in the second half of 2021 to me. And Freddie Peralta's last six starts have been virtually dominant. And the fact that this Brewers rotation is at full strength again, oh man, and Freddie Peralta's figuring it out again, my goodness, this team has really got some good vibes going right now.
Right, it's one of those ones when they come out of spring training and you have your horses going, and hopefully Miley might come back as well. But if you look at those guys, and just when you come to the clubhouse and you know that you have a horse on the mound going for you, any of these games with a game like Peralta, especially after kind of, I would say, a letdown with the Pirates, but at the same time, you know, not on a great upward spiral. You know how what stops losing streaks and kind of motivates a team is a dominant performance for that.
855-616-1620 if you want to join us here on the program tonight. What impressed you most, I mean, from Freddie tonight? It's a game that, you know, there's 13 strikeouts, there's no walks, there's seven innings, and he was pitching without the lead for most of this game until the Brewers woke up in the fourth. What impressed you most?
Well, the one thing was when they took the lead, right, when Duran hit the home run, and they kind of got those add-on runs, those five runs total. You know, he kind of came out and fell behind 3-1 on the first two hitters of that inning. And, you know, I think it was going to be like, well, this might be the difference-making game, because this is one of those guys, you know, we've talked about it many times with Peralta. You know, when he's down in the game, he seems to be dominant. It's just that one inning, kind of when the Brewers kind of give him that little bump, you know, that sometimes he has that little fallback. And tonight, you know, he fell behind 3-1 on the first, I think it was Diaz, and then he came back and punched him out, or he got him to jam to right field, and then he went punch out. So for me, it was one of those ones where he kind of got over that little hump that we've seen, kind of that one beginning that he's had during the course of the season. And tonight, just he looked like he was just a guy that was having fun, and it just looked like the talent was showing. And even in big league hitters, you know, when he fell behind 3-1, he still stuff was just dominant, especially that rising fastball.
Freddie has been awesome as of late. It's the second time just in the last month he's got 13 strikeouts and no walks in a game. Just one home run that barely got over the wall in left field by Ezekiel Tovar. So let me just read you the lines of the last few starts of Freddie Peralta, okay? Against the Cubs, he had 10 strikeouts on July 6th. On July 15th, his first start of the second half, six shutout innings against the white-hot Reds at the time. He was human against the Braves, but a lot of pitchers are. He gave up six runs in that game and two homers. But then he bounces right back against the Reds with six shutout innings, 13 Ks, no walks. And since that start, the 6-13, he went six innings in his last start against Washington. He went seven innings tonight against the Rockies. He is giving length and getting strikeouts at the same time. That's hard to do. You're generally throwing more pitches when you're getting strikeouts. The fact that he's gone six innings in each of the last three starts, I think, is certainly something to take note of for Freddie moving forward.
Yeah, it's one of those ones too, right? It wasn't one of those long innings, those laborious innings where he throws 25, 30 pitches in an inning. I think he did it with like 93 or 94 pitches tonight through seven innings. Probably one of those games that he could have completed. But I mean, this is the guy that you need to keep down the stretch, and you know, you want to, it's weird, right? These pitchers, you know, they're strong and they're durable, but you know, sometimes, you know, you want to kind of keep them in kind of porcelain and keep them in a safe, right? And so that was a game that was out of hand, and I think Council And the staff just kind of made the right decision to pull him. He had a dominant performance. The game was in hand, and so you were able to keep him under a hand of pitchers for his next start.
And there's 48 games left. If you're going to continue to roll with this five-man rotation, you know, you figure you've probably got something close to 10 starts remaining for Freddie. And, you know, not to put the cart before the horse here, but the Brewers, whoever wins the Central, and if the Brewers do get in by winning the Central or by getting a wild card spot, you know, that's a three-game series. And you've got Corbin Burns, Brandon Woodruff, and Freddie Peralta as you intended at the start of the year. I don't think there's going to be another National League playoff rotation that can compare to that. Maybe the Braves, but that's a three-headed monster right there.
Right, it's one of those ones. I mean, it's just you see the blueprint of the Milwaukee Brewers, right? It's just the starting pitching and then the airtight back end, especially now that they have Chafin, you know, just kind of shrink that ball game and then just play great defense. And tonight, you know, they scored a ton of runs, but we know what the blueprint is for the success of this team.
It's all the pitching. It's all the defense. I mean, you could see the stark contrast, too, between, you know, a team that's really good at defense in the Brewers and a team that's not so good at defense in the Rockies. There were a couple flares that drop, the throw to no one in particular that allowed runners to advance, then that set up the Sal Frelick base. I mean, there's just so many little things that add up in a game like this that continue to remind you, yeah, this team is built on the little things in the pitching and defense, the stuff that doesn't pop up in the box score. But man, it adds up to victories.
Oh, you're exactly right. Right, it's just 27 outs and bases in the major league are just so important, right? And just holding guys and you know, and to put them in a forced position, just play the game correctly. And Craig Counsell has always stressed that. And it seems like the Brewers have always identified people that can play defense and get those opportunities.
855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. This from Josh in Milwaukee. That's just what we needed to start the series. Hats off to Freddie and Frelick for their performances tonight. It will never be the same lineup every day. But what do you think about the lineup construction going forward, given certain performances? We're going to talk a little offense up next. But first, I want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With the local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities. It's going to help your business succeed. This is commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. More with Jeff and your texts and calls, 855-616-1620, right here on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back, Dom Cotroneo, Jeff Cirillo with you this evening, recapping a 12-1 Brewers victory over the Rockies. I'm Dom Cotroneo. So, Jeff, we talk about the pitching, we talk about how great that was, and it takes a performance like that to overshadow the fact that, hey, offense showed up, right? It's been a cold week and a half or so for the Brewers offense. And, yes, they scored 14 on Thursday against the Pirates, but 12 runs tonight, lots of situational hitting. It seemed like just about everybody was, as Sal Frelick said after the game, was fighting for the bat rack. And it showed, man. After that fourth inning, they got the big hit from Terang. Things really opened up from there.
Yeah, right. The little loop, the little slider, the little cutter. Lambert was throwing pretty good through the first innings, matching him. You know, you could just tell though that once the floodgates were open, that they knew that their pitcher on the mound had great stuff. You know, and they kind of opened it up, and then they got some big two out hits. You know, Contreras, and then Yelich did it, and they kind of flubbed that ball to get to second and third, and then Contreras with the big two out RBI hit to just kind of seal that one. You knew that four runs was going to be enough in this one.
I mean, it all happened with two outs there in the bottom of the fourth inning. And furthermore, it all started thanks to a 1-2 pitch to Bryce Terang. Take me into the dugout here, Jeff. I mean, your offense is ice cold. You've got a man in scoring position with two outs after a strikeout from Monasterio to make it two outs. So it's Bryce. And take me in. When that home run clears the wall, given the situation, two strikes, two outs, and your pitcher is shoving, you could literally see and feel the release, but what's it like when that moment finally comes saying, yes, this is the offense we know? Might have lost Jeff for a moment there. Oh, no. Do we have him back here, Isaac?
No, we're back. Yeah, no, sorry about that. Yeah, no, I mean, it was go ahead. Give me the question again because
it's all good, but stuff happens. But I was just going to say, I mean, having the release finally to say with a 1-2 count and two outs, the offense being ice cold, and Bryce is the guy that opens the floodgates, if you will, to get it done. Take me into the dugout when something like that happens for a slumping offense. All right, stuff's going wrong here. So we're going to take a quick breather, make sure everything's all wired up, and make sure everything's properly across and tied up. We want to get this right. I want to hear from him today. But for the pitching side of things, the player of the game is easily Freddy Peralta. From the offensive side of things, my pick has got to be Sal Frelick. We'll talk a little bit more about that coming up once we get our lines all squared away here. It's all brought to you by the Salvation Army. Every day, the Salvation Army provides shelter, meals, and support to those in need, and your donations make a difference. Visit samilwaukee.org to help today. Take a quick breather. We'll be back in a second and get Jeff back here on the line. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. Stay with us.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Okay, I'm just going to test the water and put one toe in. Jeff Cirillo, are you with us?
Yeah, man, I'm sorry about that, Dom. I don't know what happened.
Hey, man, it's 2023. We found out aliens are real and everything's gone weird, right?
Oh, yeah. Way to handle the situation, Dom, with a pro.
it's just technical difficulties. It happens to everybody. Okay, so let's finally spit it out. 1-2 count, 2 outs, your offense is scuffling, Terang hits the homer. How are you reacting in the dugout?
I think it's great. I mean, it's just one of those ones. It's just because, you know, you've been in such these battle-tested thing. You're getting another great pitching performance, and you know that Peralta's got great stuff on the night. It's just a matter. It was early, right? It's like kind of the second time through the order. But it was one of those ones, but you just kind of got to break the seal, and that's what they did. And then Lambert wasn't able to you know, he just reeled from there. And the Brewers, like you said, Frelick, said it was a fight to the bat rack, and that's what happens, you know. And we've watched this so many times. Just hitting is a contagious thing. It's today and forever in the game of baseball, you know. When one guy gets a hit, you know, it kind of breaks the ice, and everyone else is a little bit more relaxing when you come up to the plate. And all of a sudden, it was just the floodgate opened, and it was just a special night for Peralta, and the hitters were able to join in the party.
Everyone got a hit except for Carlos Santana. Sorry there, Slamtana, Mr. Smooth, but he will have another day, I'm sure. Yelich, 2-for-3, 2 walks as well, scored 3 runs. William Contreras, 3-for-5, a double, 3 runs batted in. Frelick, 2-for-3, a double, a homer, 4 runs batted in. And I want to talk about Frelick here with you here, Jeff, because in his first step out of the game of the first, he wears one off the shin just below his knee on a hit-by-pitch. He's limping up the line. And I'm not going to use the hockey player cliche. That's been overused already, just like we overused the Owen Millers from Fredonia thing. So he's walking it up the line. He's shaking it off. He's going to be okay. He's staying in the game. He's going to be fine. You know he's not feeling well. And then for the rest of the game to go the way it did for him, I mean, it's just like, come on, man. He's making it look way too easy.
Yeah, just a Boston tough kid, right? I mean, he's just one of those throwback-type players, you know, kind of the Gardner, right, from the Yankees. Just one of those guys who's just going to fight every at bat. He's got a short little swing. He's foot downs early, so he's kind of always on time. And, you know, he's got a little bit more juice than you think, even though he's not a big guy. But, you know, he can drop some head on that ball down and in for sure.
He's somebody that understands how the count works and what he has to do with count leverage. And can you kind of help put that into layman's terms for some folks who may not understand what count leverage means? Because it seems... And what I see is that I see a guy that understands each situation, that when he's ahead in the count, he's taking daddy hacks. He's up there ready to rip. But then we see like that double down a left field line where he's just slapping it, looking like Luis Arraez, and all of a sudden it's a double. Take me through his approach when he has count leverage and when he needs to be up there battling.
Well, he's just one of those players, too, though, and it's one of those ones when they're down by a couple runs, you'll see him, he'll take a 2-0 cookie down the middle, he'll take a 3-1 strike, you know, to kind of work that leadoff hitter. You know, I think he's definitely comfortable in that little leadoff spot, but at the same time, you know, when he gets in a count leverage situation right now, he's looking to turn the fan on and looking for something in to pull, because he does have some pull power. But then what you do is, on the flip side, it's like, okay, you're going to be in situations where you're 0-2, and now you're just in fight mode, right? And you're just kind of taking that pitch away, and you're just trying to cover away and protect in as best you can, and just kind of foul it off or do whatever you can with that pitch. But you're trying to not get beat to that pitch away. And so it's kind of refreshing to see, especially in today's game where guys just want to have, like you said, those daddy hacks on all three of their pitches, right? I'm going to take 3 swings. I'm going to get 700 at-bats. It means I'm going to get 2,100 swings in the season, and of those 2,100, I'm just hoping to kind of crash hit into those. But so it's really refreshing to see a guy like for you, like who's going to make pitchers work. And, you know, the scouting report's going to be one of those ones, too, that he's going to make me work for strikes.
Bryce Terang has been also playing very good baseball lately. Since July 26th, he is hitting .400. He's 14 for 35. He's got two homers in that stretch. And my favorite stat of this, during these last 12 games, he's got six walks and only three strikeouts. What are you seeing from Bryce Terang that's got him in the groove right now at the box?
I see a little bit. I think that his swing is a little bit flatter, and it's a less vertical, like in and out loopy. The swing, obviously, the pitch tonight was a loopy down and in breaking ball, which is always a left-hander's paradise, right? That little breaking ball that just kind of comes down and at his knees on the corner end. But for me, it's one of those guys. You know, I think that he's maybe trying to get the ball out of the air a little bit more and maybe flatten out his.
Oh no, we lost him again. Somebody's got to stop calling Jeff Cirillo. Don't they know he's on the air? Don't they know he's got a job to do? Here on WTMJ, we've got stuff to do. We got to talk about baseball with Jeff Cirillo. While we wait to connect back with him, Isaac, just go ahead and get my ear whenever we get him back. I want to remind you the difference-making moment is brought to you by Annex Wealth Management, investment, retirement, tax, and estate planning from a fee-only fiduciary. Forget commission sales pitches and financial products you don't need. Know the difference. Annex provides elite comprehensive financial planning customized to who you are and what you need. Go to annexwealth.com. Jeff, I know you're back. I know you heard the ad read, so you know it's a difference-making moment, but I bet we agree on what the moment was. You go ahead and take it first. And he's gone again. All right, well, we tried it. For me, it's Terang. It's got to be Terang. It's got to be the home run. It's got to be getting things going offensively because it opened the floodgates. They ended up scoring, batting around in that inning.
Thanks.
Anderson followed up with a triple. Jeff Cirillo, do you have the same thought as far as the difference-making moment?
I do. I think that you're exactly right. I think that it's just it kind of let everyone breathe a little bit. The difference making moment is the Bryce Terang, that breaking ball down and in that he was able to hook down the line for a home run, and just the floodgates opening from there.
Last thing I want to ask you about, and we'll let you go because this has been a weird connection night. It happens. We'll get another chance tomorrow with Bob Brainerd. But the fact that Willy Adames got the day off today, and Craig Counsell ordered him to not show up to the ballpark until 4 o'clock. Why is that significant? What can it do for Willie? And man, what a game for him to watch and celebrate with everybody in the dugout. A heck of a game for the offense to get going, for him to watch and see that, you know what, some positive things can happen for him in the box as well.
I think that it's one of those ones, and you know, Council's been there, right? So that's why you got those managers that have had those experiences. Like, you know, when it's good, it's good. It doesn't really matter what you do. You know, you show up at 4 or you show up at 1. But when you're struggling a little bit and you just need, sometimes it's called just a mental blow, right? And just get it's or another term would be used is like a good solid fundamental benching, just based on the fact just to see a game and just take it easy and just watch the game and don't do anything today, because you know, we know you've been grinding. Obviously, he's getting to the field early, looking at video. And sometimes you get a slave to the numbers and you just kind of look at the video. And when you go back and look at video of your swing, no matter what it is, like you can hit it, look at a hit tape in the offseason and be like, man, I was good. And then you can look at that same hitting tape during the season. You're like, yeah, that shortstop almost caught that ball. Man, I almost got lucky. So whatever you want to see in that video, you're going to see. So I think it was a great call, and just he's just trying to lighten the load and let him loosen the bat a little bit and take his mind off of baseball just for a day.
And I would hope, you know, I imagine he's going to be right back in there tomorrow. And I would hope, just to make it a little easier on him, have it be a soft landing, I think it would be a good thing to lower him in the batting order. He's going to be in the batting order, and the Brewers are not going to be successful without him. He is going to be in the starting lineup. He is not getting benched. He is not getting DFA'd. That is not happening. Willy Adames can get nuclear real fast, and we have seen it happen before. I personally would put him 6th or 7th. I don't know what the Brewers are going to do. Do you agree with that statement to lower him in the order to ease the pressure?
I would agree with that, right? I mean, it seemed like earlier in the year it was kind of they were relying on him in that 4-5 hole, right? And just it's one of those ones. It's just you got to lengthen the lineup, and sometimes when you go down there in that 6th or 7th hole, right, you see 5 or 6 hitters come up before you. You know, you don't have those guys. You know, and obviously Yelich and Contreras are going to keep getting on base. You know, and it becomes a more, especially one of those ones where you need guys like we're going to put the ball in play, right? At least contact to allow those guys to get into scoring position and maybe score without via, you know, getting a base hit or a ground ball or just even a fly ball, get that run in.
It was a trial and tribulation connection night with you, Jeff, but you brought it with the analysis. Much appreciated, my friend, and looking forward to watching another one tomorrow. It won't be with me. It'll be with Bob Raynard here on the show, but thanks as always for joining us.
Oh, sweet. Bob will be there. All right. I'll have a better connection tomorrow for Bob.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be a lot easier, and it'll be no big deal, and it'll be like nothing ever happened, but appreciate you being here, Jeff. Good to see you over the weekend as well.
Yeah, you as well, Dom. Take care tonight.
All right. Jeff Cirillo here on the program as well. Get a little more numbers, get a little deep in the sauce here coming up next with some of the numbers and the performances of this one. That's coming up next, 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. Stay with us. Brewers Extra Innings rolls on.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
A great stat on the text line. This is from Ringo in Goodman. Last 55 days since June 13th, Brewers and Reds are both 27-20. The Cubs are two games better, as assuming they're going to lose tonight, as last I checked, they were down 7-2 against the Mets, and they still are, so they are 29-18 over that stretch. But the Brewers still have the same record as last year after 114 games, and they were already two games back of the Cardinals at that time. This year, they're a game and a half up with 48 to go. Good stuff, Ringo. That's the kind of stuff that I'm looking up on the telecasts for Bally Sports Wisconsin, trying to state things. Another thing that we found today, if you're into this sort of thing, run differential. Some of the nerds like me really get a little too enamored with run differential, if you ask me. I think some people put too much of an emphasis on run differential, but hey, it is good to see a positive number in their run differential. Entering today, the run differential was -8. Of course, you win by 11, so they're now +3. It's the first time they've had a positive run differential since mid-May, since May 16th. That was after the Brewers got drubbed by the Cardinals, remember, 18-1. Then they got it back. They stayed in the green for one more day on May 16th against the Cardinals, winning that game. But then they went on a stretch where they would lose three in a row, and they have not been able to recover to get their run differential back in the positive ever since. And it didn't help by that 15-1 loss either against the Giants on the brutal month of May. I mean, in April, the Brewers, and March for that matter, the Brewers had a +28 run differential for the first month of the season. Yet then for May, they had a -52 run differential. So it disappeared quickly. But yet every month since May, they've had a positive run differential, and they have been above 500 every month since May. 14-13 in June, 14-11 in July, and now they are 4-3 in August. So stack them up. That's what we're talking about. Win series, good things happen, add them up all at the end. Quick peek at the scoreboard. Again, the Mets leading the Cubs. That game 7-2 in the bottom of the seventh inning, impacted by a rain delay in that game. It has taken quite a while on that one in Queens. But the Reds did win tonight. The Reds beat the Marlins 5-2. Young Ellie De La Cruz and Yoey Perez getting the matchup. Ellie went 0-for-3 with a walk and a strikeout on this one. Yoey Perez did not get out of the fifth inning, the young stud for the Miami Marlins. Miami's now been in a kind of a nosedive, as well as the Arizona Diamondbacks. Diamondbacks not playing tonight, but those are the two teams that are supposed to be kind of in this dance in the wild card race right now, and they're starting to take themselves out of it. And as of now, the runner-up in the Central Division is probably going to take that last wild card spot. It looks like the Phillies and Giants are clear and very safe to hold a wild card spot as the top two spots. Then it'll be the runner-up of the Central, because Miami's falling apart, Arizona's falling apart. I don't think San Diego's for real. They got drubbed today by the Dodgers, and I just don't see it happening with San Diego. But I want to get to a couple of quick notes about today's game here. The Brewers faced only one over the minimum. They were the home run from Tovar away from this being a perfect game. It was only the third time in franchise history the Brewers only allowed one base runner in the entire game. And the last time was the Corbin Burns, Josh Hader no-hitter back in 2021. Now, the other game was back in 2019 on May 26th at home against the Phillies. The Brewers won this game 9-1. And man, it is a trip going down this box score. It was started by Brandon Woodruff. He allowed a solo homer to Andrew Knapp as he had a perfect game through five, then gave up the solo homer to Knapp in the sixth inning with the Brewers up 7-0 at the time. And that would be the only base runner of the game. Woodruff went eight innings, the one homer, 10 strikeouts. Matt Albers would finish the game with a pair of strikeouts. But the the names, Zach Eflin started for the Phillies. Now he's a Tampa Bay Ray. Andrew McCutchen was the leadoff hitter for the Phillies. Gene Segura was batting second. Gene Segura just got DFA'd by the Marlins the other day. Bryce Harper, of course, 0-for-3 with three punchies in this one. Odubel Herrera, Michael Franco was in the game. I mean, what a lineup. Also in this game, Freddie Peralta set a new franchise record for swings and misses in a game. Whiffs, as we call them. 31 whiffs tonight. That's the most in a single game in Brewers franchise history in the pitch tracking era. That goes back to 2008 confidently. Now, in case you're wondering, you know, well, wait a minute. How is 31 the record when Ben Sheets had 18? That was back in 2004. We don't have confident swing and miss pitch data from that time. We could probably go back and watch it and fill it in by hand one day, but yeah, the 18 strikeout game, we don't know how many whiffs he had. Maybe I'll make that a passion project one day. I'll go count up how many whiffs Ben Sheets had in that game back on 2004 against the Braves. So some interesting news and nuggets from this one. It's been a lot of fun to watch great pitching from the Crew. Up next, we're going to hear from the manager, Craig Counsell. The Brewers have certainly got some great performances. It's all brought to you by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. As for who's hot, trust in your family's comfort at home all year long with Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Their sale is extended. You can save up to $1,000 on a Daikin furnace or AC unit through the end of the month. Financing is available. Schedule your appointment today at Sider, SEIDER.com. Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Families helping families since 1912. Back with more in a moment on WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
Brewers win, big fashion, 12-1 over the Rockies. I'm Dominic Catronio. Fun one to say the least. How's the manager feeling after seeing Freddie Peralta strike out 13 and not have a single walk? Here's the skipper, Craig Counsell.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a really good fastball. It's, and then the off speed is in good spots. You know, he made an early mistake with a breaking ball. And then after that, to Williams' credit, you don't go away from it. But he made some good breaking ball pitches. And that just makes you, that makes a guy with a really good fastball, it makes it even better. And so it just feels like it's got great life on it right now. And, even in some counts where, the hitter may be kind of, suspecting fastball, he's getting by him.
Was it pretty much a repeat of what he did against the Reds a couple starts ago? Or you seen?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty accurate, yeah.
Did you have a feeling just sort of run from him might have been coming, just with the way the stuff looked all year and how healthy he's been?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it after a number of starts. Is like, everything looks good, it looks right. Wasn't getting the results he wanted, was getting stuck in, a game, was giving up a kind of just a homer in the wrong place, unfortunately. But the stuff has been good all year. And when he's, when the off speed stuff is competitive like it was tonight, it's big problems for the hitter.
How much better is the command too?
I think the command is good. I think Freddie has a arsenal that lets him get away with more.
Craig, is this the all or nothing offense? Is it just baseball?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how to explain it. We've had a couple of really good nights. I don't know.
That inning with all the two outs.
I mean, how are we going to explain that? I wish I could. I don't. Yeah.
But it's like the two out at bat after at bat after at bat in that inning. So I imagine that's kind of exactly what you're looking for.
Yeah, I mean, look, it was that. Lambert did it. He did a nice job over the first three plus innings, and we got a leadoff walk, and then we did some great two out things in the fourth, for sure. Just kind of moved the line, good at bats. Bryce hit a pitch like a slider down, I think, and then we kept going after that. Most importantly,
it ended up being 12 runs, but how important was that hit by Bryce to?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you change the, you flip the score with kind of from losing to winning with one swing of the bat, I think those are big swings. I thought seven innings from Freddie tonight was huge, just for the bullpen, who's, we're on the back of a 13-game stretch here, and we've been kind of, bullpen's been doing a nice job kind of picking each other up and sharing the load here. So a lot of good things tonight.
The homer was the only base runner they had, too.
And yeah.
No walks, 16 strikeouts. I know it's a lopsided win, but that's about as...
Yeah, I mean, that was as well pitch game as we've had this year, for sure. The attack of the strike zone, I thought, was just really, really good.
That was the fourth game this season the Brewers have had at least 16 strikeouts from their pitching staff. That is tied for the most in baseball with the Mariners and the Angels. Certainly a great night, to say the least. How about some highlights? Let's relive it coming up next on WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Go!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Freddie Peralta getting the ball to start off a three-game series with the Rockies. And in the first inning, he allowed a solo homer to Ezekiel Tovar, but still he struck out five of the first six batters he faced in this game. Clearly, the goods were on for Freddie despite allowing the solo homer early. Little did we know, that would be it for the Rockies, but it was just a matter of the Brewers' offense showing up to the party. And it took with two outs and two strikes on Bryce Tarang in the fourth to finally arrive.
Brewers' offense trying to back him up a little bit here. 1-2, high fly ball, deep right field. Going back is Tolia at the wall. Gone! Bryce Tarang gives the Brewers a 2-1 lead with his sixth home run of the season. And the Brewers take a 2-1 lead, and they give that back up to Freddie Peralta.
That was Lane Grindle's call here on WTMJ, and it would open the floodgates. Brian Anderson would follow with a triple, and he would come in to score on a Tyrone Taylor RBI single, yet they still weren't done. Yelich would hit a single. Both him and Taylor would advance after a bad throw from the outfield from the Rockies, and then William Contreras made him pay.
Right above the belt. 2-2 pitch, ground ball back up the middle and into center field for a base hit. Taylor will score. Yelich around third, he will score. William Contreras with a two-run single, and the Brewers with a five spot here in the fourth. It's 5-1 Crew.
Freddie Peralta would roll from there. He did not allow another base runner aside from that home run. He struck out 13 and also didn't walk a batter. Great stuff from him. The Brewers' offense, they weren't done at the bottom of the seventh.
Siebold's 1-2 pitch. This is hit pretty well out to right field. Tolia's back onto the warning track. It'll hit off the top of the wall. Yelich on his horse. He's going to be waved around third. Here's the throw to the plate, and Yelich is in there standing up. William Contreras drives in his third run of the night, and the Brewers add another one on the board. It's 6-1 Crew.
And then one of the best pieces of hitting you will ever see from Sal Frelick.
2-2 pitch. Frelick, a bouncer inside the third base back and into left field. This will be extra bases for Frelick. Contreras trots home. Frelick slides into second safely with an RBI double. It's 7-1 Brewers.
And then, there's only one thing missing. The home run.
Siebold brings home the pitch, and it's a high fly ball deep right field. Tolia is back at the track, at the wall. He leaps up. It is gone. Taylor rides one out of here to right. Number four on the year for Tyrone, and it's 9-1 Brewers.
Oh, no, they still weren't done yet. How about Sal for you?
One. Sal, a high drive, right center field. Tolia's back, onto the warning track, at the wall, gone! Sal Frelick with a three-run shot, and the Brewers all over the Rockies here tonight in game one of this series. 12-1 Brewers, as Frelick got a high fastball, and he did not miss it.
Sorry, Bob Uecker. It was just a Lane Grindle highlight night. I know Bob was there, I promise. It's okay, guys. That's the highlights. Brewers win 12-1. They only allowed one base runner for only the third time in franchise history. Great night from the pitching staff. Better night from the offense. Game one in the books. Game two tomorrow. We'll talk about it coming up next right here on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
All right, last couple minutes here of the program. I'm Dom Catronio. Thanks, everybody who's tuned in. Remember, you can always catch these Brewers All Access wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll be with you here, I promise. We're ready to go. It's going to be a fun finish coming up down the stretch. Got some things in the hopper here coming for you I think you're going to like as we get ready for the Brewers to make a push. 48 games to go. That game in New York is just about final. It's 10-2 now, Mets against the Cubs. So I'm feeling comfortable in saying that the Reds will be in first place at the end, second place in the Central, and in a wild card spot here by the end of the night. So that means the Reds are now in second place all alone. They beat the Marlins tonight. They are 60-55. The Cubs are about to fall to 58-55, and these Brewers still in control, 61-53. Tomorrow, it's going to be Wade Miley on the mound. Wade Miley, the lefty, getting his second start since coming off the injured list, up against Kyle Freeland. And so that game will start same time, same place, 7:10 first pitch. Coverage will begin right after Wisconsin's afternoon news with Brewers warm-up at 6. That'll be with Bob Brainerd. And Bob Brainerd's got the show tomorrow, as he does on all Tuesdays. I have the day. I am, of all days, to be in Baltimore. I just want to say here on the record, Kevin Brown, you did nothing wrong, my friend, and I'm glad to see the broadcasting world rallying around the television broadcaster of the Orioles. Cooler heads will prevail. They always do. I'm Dom Catronio. My thanks to Isaac Marquardt, our producer. Keep on swinging.